manner of evil things, and that God had a plan to bring them all back. And he worked his plan, and Jesus came to take away sin so that we could live holy lives before God. But there's a lot of controversial talking and thinking along the lines of sin. So we'd like to go over some of those scriptures this morning and try to make sure that we have clarity so that we might be able to explain it to someone else if they don't have clarity. You know, sometimes we can know something ourselves in our hearts, and we have a feeling, and we know it's, we have a witness inside. We know this is right. But sometimes we can't explain why it's right. You know, and then people will say, they'll ask that question, like the little children when, you know, they're growing up, and they say, but why, but why, but why? It's good for us to know why. It's good for us to be able to take scripture and explain it. And we know that just because we explain it right doesn't mean people are going to take it. We know that they can make all manner of excuses, and they can make all manner of challenges to the word. And they can say, well, I don't believe it like that and everything. That's what everybody's doing. They're saying, I don't believe it means that. I don't believe it means this. And they're carrying on and being their own God in their life. So, but we would like to talk about sin this morning. We want to start in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to read verses 4 through 10. 1 John 3, 4 through 10. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We have a definition of what sin is here. It's a transgression of the law. What, human law? No, God's law, his laws, what he laid down for mankind. It doesn't matter what we think about it. He laid down the laws. So when we sin, it's a transgression of his law. And it says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Jesus came to take away our sins, and there's no sin in him. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay, so what does that mean? If whosoever abideth in Jesus, understand that he came to take away your sins, know how to go to him and ask forgiveness of sins. He whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We don't go out and sin after that. Sin involves willfulness. It's a willfulness. It's a disobedience. It's knowing that I should do this different, but I don't. And not only that, I don't want to. I don't want to do it different. It's not like us who come to a place to where we understand something and we see something and when we go to work on it. That isn't sin. That's not the same thing as sin. Sin is willfully doing it, knowing. It says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If we're willing to be disobedient to God and willing to do things that we know are contrary and should not be, then we haven't seen God. We don't know him. We really don't understand him. There are lots of people saying that, well, I know God and I've accepted the Lord and all these things, but I sin more or less every day. But it says here, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So we have to take the scriptures and we have to line them up, scripture on top of scripture on top of scripture, to be able to interpret some of the more difficult passages that look like it gives leeway. You see what I'm saying? People take those things instead and they grab on to the leeway ones, the ones that look and don't say it quite like yes or no. They it seems like it's saying something different. Those are the ones they want to latch on to. But it says here, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And we're told to abide in him. It's a direct commandment. We sinneth not. We don't do this. So we have to find out, okay, well, so what's the difference in their teaching versus our teaching? What is going on here? Why do they say that we're sinning all the time, more or less all the time, and yet we're saying, no, we don't sin. We're not supposed to sin. We're not supposed to do those things anymore. We're supposed to ask forgiveness and leave. And you know how Jesus did. He would heal people, and they brought the adulterous woman to him and everything, and he told them, go and sin no more. He can't give us a commandment that we can't follow. We have to be able to follow the commandments he gives. They have to be obtainable. So it says here, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Don't let anybody deceive you now. He that is doing righteous, he is the righteous one. Then it goes on. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Direct statements. No, nothing here can be misconstrued. For the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose, because the devil was there and because he tricked Adam and Eve and because they willfully went into it because they knew the commandment. They understand it very well. Even Eve told the devil, we're not supposed to do that. She understood it very well. Adam understood it very well, but they did it anyway. That's sin. That's sin. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. And it means in people's lives, that sin will no longer have dominion over you. You won't have to keep doing the same things you've always done. Sin will no longer have dominion over you. It says, destroy the works of the devil. Not just forgive them. There's a lot of teaching out there that says, well, we sin more or less every day in thought or word or deed. This is what we, you know, nobody can be perfect. They have all of these things they say. These are key phrases that the world uses. But do you know what? We have to use the phrases that are in the Bible. Those phrases are not in the Bible. It doesn't say we sin more or less every day. There's no phrase like that in the Bible. Why don't we use biblical phrases? If we want to use phrases, let's use what's in the Bible. The Bible says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. How can you live for God and be God's child and be of the devil at the same time? It's impossible. So what is happening is that people are either excusing their sin and saying, well, you know, I can't help it. So obviously God doesn't mean God, I can't get over this and I can't quit doing this. And I know it's sinful and everything and I can't get away from it. So obviously that must not be what the scripture means. It must mean something different. In other words, I'm a sinner and I'm just saved by grace. In other words, he just looks down at it. He sees it. And because I've accepted the Lord, then he just puts his blood over it and can't see it anymore, but I'm still just a sinner. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. See, they want to excuse their sin, but the scripture is plain. We have to use the language in the Bible. We can't come up with our own language and our own explanation of things. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And that the Son of God was manifested that it might destroy. Now, I don't know about you. It's not washed over. It's not patched over. It's not just laid over. Destroy. You know what destroy means? Completely obliterated. Gone. Done. Destroyed. And it didn't say that he would destroy the sin that we had committed, because we know the sin we committed has caused many things, and that some of those things may never go away. those things are never destroyed. In other words, there's some things we've done in life that changed our life or changed things, and we can never get rid of that. So that isn't what he's talking about. What is he talking about? When it says destroy the works of the devil, it means the working of the devil and sin in your life. It means that where I used to sin in this, I don't do it anymore. It's destroyed in me. Then it goes on and it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, is that biblical language? That is biblical language. It isn't that we sin more or less every day. That is not biblical language. The language in the Bible says he that is born of God doth not commit sin. It doesn't say that, well, I sin more or less every day, but God just covers it with his blood, and so it's not imputed into me, and it's not really sin for me because I've, you know, accepted the Lord as my Savior. But that isn't what it says here. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, what does that mean? Some people might say, well, in other words, you can't sin anymore because I'm born of God. No matter what I do, it's not counted as sin anymore. That was a teaching way back there when Jesus was on the earth. There was a particular teaching that said you could do anything and everything and material things and all of this material sin, that it wasn't really, you could do all of those things. It was just that you had to have this spiritual awareness that everything is what excused it all. That teaching was way, way back there. This is not something new. It was way back there. But it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. What does it mean, his seed? Well, we know that a seed is something that sprouts and we grow, and something grows out of it. His seed. In other words, he planted something in us. When the day we got saved, what happened? We wanted to serve him. Our whole life turned a different direction. He planted something in us. We don't want to sin. We don't want to do wrong. We don't want to do bad things anymore. We don't want to keep tied up and bound up with the things that we were in before. We don't want to. The seed remains. The seed he planted in our heart to love God with all of our heart and to obey him and to be with him. And when he took and gave us that peace and everything, and oh, it felt so good. The seed remains. We don't want to do anything wrong. It says, and he cannot sin. People say, well, we can't sin because Jesus has covered it in his blood. No, that isn't what it means. What it means is we cannot sin. He cannot sin because he doesn't want to. Because we know at any time, we know we can make a whole list of what sin is. And we know at any time, we can go and do one of those things. Nothing keeps us from doing that except the seed remains, the love remains, the forgiveness remains, all of it remains. We don't want to. That's why we don't sin, because we don't want to. But if you still want to, then you have to come up with a reason why it's okay and I can still be saved if you still want to do the sin. But we don't want to. The seed remains. We don't want to do it. It says, because he is born of God. Because he's born of God. God is holy. How can you, if you're born of God, how can you want to keep doing all the sinful things of the devil when you're born of God and you're in his kingdom now? It's totally opposite kingdoms. In this is the conclusion right here. In this, the children of God are manifest. This is how you know. This is how you know. And the children of the devil. This is how you know. It's very clear. See, this is Bible language, not the pre-thought out psychological, whatever language that the world uses to excuse it, such as we sin more or less every day in thought, word, and deed, which is not said anywhere in the Bible. This is the language in the Bible. In this, the children of God are manifest, the children and the children of the devil. whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is how you know. He that's being unrighteous is of the devil. He that's doing righteousness is of God. It's easy to see. It's easy to see. This is the conclusion of what is being taught here. You can't ignore all of that God tells us that we're supposed to do and put on and put off and all these things and say, well, I can't do it and I don't have enough strength and I don't have this and I don't have that. But then somebody came along with the doctrine, well, you sin more or less every day anyway and thought, word, and deed. So you just go to the Lord and you just keep asking to forgive you. So every day you're being born again every day, because I can't keep from sinning, so I have to be born again every day. That's what they're saying. There are some that actually start out their day, I know because I heard it with my own ears, that actually start out their day and say, Lord, forgive me for the sins I'm going to commit today. Now, how does that fit in that he that committeth sin is of the devil? How does it fit in that God came to destroy that so you didn't have to do that? How does it fit in that if we abide in him, we sin not? See, we have to take the scriptures that are, for lack of a better word, trickier, not as plain, tricky kind of. We have to measure them up with the ones that are very plain. See, people want to keep you mixed up and bound down by the ones that are a little more obscure and maybe not as straightforward. But we measure them against the ones that are straightforward, to the point, no room for error. This is what we have to do. Because if you got a whole bunch of, you got a whole bunch of things to change and we're different in the Bible, if you say, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and you say, no, he can't keep from sinning, you got a whole bunch of things you got to change in the Bible. Not just this one place. You have to change a lot of places. So we have to, the ones that speak expressly, the scriptures that speak expressly, line it out, line upon line. We have to use those scriptures and we have to interpret the ones that look a little strange, or that we're not quite sure of, or that the world twists around, and we have to measure them and interpret them by the ones that are very clear. See, we can't let people drag us off and have us trying to interpret something without using the ones that are there, the ones that are just completely spell it out. All right, 1 John 5, 16 through 18. 1 John 5, 16 through 18. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. Here's another definition of sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Okay, do you see what it's saying here? Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So when you look at this scripture, the end of this scripture, it's very obvious to see at the beginning of the scripture, when they're talking about a sin not unto death, they're using this word sin. But what they're talking about is, as we're going through life, when we first get saved, there are certain sins that we understand right away that we just have to give up and everything. But you don't understand every sin that could be in your life. How can you ask forgiveness for a sin that you have not even understood or have no knowledge that this thing is wrong? It's impossible. You have to feel godly sorrow. How can you have godly sorrow over something you don't know? You can't. So when it's talking here about a sin that's not unto death, we can look at each other and we can look at some things in people's lives and we can say, oh, I couldn't do that and be saved. But that doesn't mean they couldn't, because you have knowledge. See, it's been enlightened to you. You understand it perfectly. You've gone to God and said, Lord, I see this thing in my life. I see this attitude right here. And this thing is going to end up being sin if I don't get it out of my life. If I don't get this thing corrected, I'm going to end up doing this until God says, all right, I gave you a space of time to repent, to get godly sorrow, to repent and get it out of your life. Those are the ones we pray for. We pray for those. We pray for the ones that are unknown. There are people that first, when they first come to the Lord, there's so many things they don't know that are actually classified as sin in the word, but they don't know it. They have no understanding of it. So we pray. We pray for those things. We pray that they will become aware. We pray that the Lord will manifest it to them. We pray that the Lord will make it plain to them so they can get it out of their life. We pray, because we know anything left there that is unlike God is going to hinder us. And we know that we're changing and becoming more like Him every day. So yesterday I had something that was unlike God. Today I discovered it and I repented of it and I saw it clearly. And now I don't do that now. I fight against that now. I have to get a victory over it now and make sure that it is not in my life. See, sin is willful disobedience. It is willful. You have to know it and understand it. It's not accounted to you for things you don't know. In all the different countries in the world, the scripture said, those that don't know and by nature do the things that God wants them to do, it's imputed unto them as right. In other words, it's righteousness. He judges that. He understands. He looks on us and we're not all wise. When the devil tricked us and filled us up with sin, we didn't even realize what all kinds of sins we had. We just knew the top ones, the bad ones, the ones that we willfully were doing, and the ones that maybe we didn't even willfully do, but we just couldn't stop. We did it one time and got, so to speak, hooked on it. And I'm not talking about just alcohol and drugs and cigarettes. We get hooked on things. And then it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So the devil keeps trying to bring sin. That's where a lot of thoughts come in. And that's why people out in the world say, well, you sin in thought, because they're claiming those thoughts for themselves. They're claiming them for themselves. They're not their thoughts. It's the devil bringing a thought in. We accept it, it becomes ours. We accept it, it becomes our thought. We accept it, it becomes our sin. And the devil leads us down this path until we're physically doing things that he introduced to our mind. But just because he introduces something to our mind does not mean we are sinning. Sin is a willful act. I don't willfully bring this in, but if the devil suggests something in my mind and I begin to dwell on it and I begin to get enjoyment out of it and I begin to just fully engulf it and let it, you know, it can become sin to me. Absolutely. But that isn't what we do. What we do is when something comes to our mind and we start to think about it and we go, whoa, wait a minute. That's not right. Right? We're not sinning. We're discovering. You see, we're discovering what the devil's trying to trick us with. So it's a discovery process. And the reason that we know, the reason that the older saints know so much more than we do is because they've been shunning sin for all these years and learned all the different tricks and learned all the different kinds of sins there are. And we're just starting out and we barely know right from wrong. We're just barely there. All right. So then in Romans 7, we want to read these scriptures, and I don't know how long I'll dwell on them, but I want to read them. Romans 7, 15 through 25. This is Paul's testimony before he was saved. He says, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. This is his testimony of himself. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, if I do what I know is wrong, then I'm trying to convince myself it's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. You know, I have to come up with another theory. I have to come up with something else rather than so that I can go ahead. If I don't have any power and because I don't really have God in my life, so I can't stop this thing and I can't get rid of it and it keeps plaguing me, then I have to come up with a theory that makes me feel good with God. I have to come up with something. And the world has come up with many somethings to say that certain things are all right. I mean, in our day and age, there are multiple things that people are saying is all right that are completely condemned in the Word of God. But they're saying, oh no, it's natural, born that way. That's what they're saying. So here we have it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I'm having a hard time figuring this out. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. What's wrong with me? In other words, this is his lament. This is where I was. This is his lament. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I've got to come to the realization, wait a second. If I'm doing wrong, it's just wrong and it's sin and it's in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, I'm thinking in my mind, but I want to be a good person. I want to be right. I want to be right with God. I want to do these things, but I see another law in my members. In other words, I see that my flesh is reaching out for all manner of things, and it's warring against the law of my mind. I know I shouldn't be doing them, but it's just warring and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So I've got this, I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, you know how we were. There was a whole lot of things we wished we could change about ourselves. We saw things. We didn't like it. We didn't like it how we couldn't stop our mouths and we couldn't stop our thoughts and we would stay up all night thinking evil of people. And you know what I'm saying? Lose sleep over it. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to deliver me from this horrible thing that I sin and I can't help it, and it just keeps happening, and it's just death. It's just constant death and dying and decay and horrible. It says in the 25th verse, which is the answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I have discovered something. This is what he's saying. I was out there in sin and I was wanting to do better. See, you have to remember, Paul was of the Jewish religion before Christ came. He was trying to do right. See, he was trying, he was working at it. He was really, you know, he thought he got letters and he was destroying the Christians. And I mean, he was working at it. He was working to do the will of God. So he said, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I'm trying to serve the law of God. I'm trying to obey the commandments. I'm trying to defeat evil in these Christians and all of these, you know, he's got all of this. But with the flesh,
I discovered that with the flesh is the law of sin. In other words, I'm consenting to sin at the same time that I've got this, I know in my head I should be serving God, but I'm still serving the flesh. And then he goes on to tell us in the scriptures that I have to put my body under every day. Does that mean we're full of sin? No. It means that sin, it says that sin, when it is conceived, it bringeth forth something. So we get attacked all the time with things and things that are sinful that we shouldn't do. We get attacked. But it's only when it's conceived, when I consent to it, when it becomes willful, then it brings forth lust, and I have sinned. The Lord is very, you know, we have to realize that some of these difficult passages of scripture have to be brought back to the beginning. And like the scripture, it says, whosoever abideth him sinneth not. Plain, simple, can't happen. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You see what I'm saying? We have to take all scripture and we have to put it line upon line, precept upon precept. We can't use the world's language and consent. See, the worst thing that we can do is consent to their language as fact. It's not fact. It's nowhere in the Bible. It's not fact. It's what they've come up with to excuse themselves because their religion isn't working for them. They're not getting the depths that they need. They're not crucifying the flesh. They're not getting in there and kicking out anything that is unlike God. They're not doing that. So they have to come up with another way of doing. So they come up with a plausible, reasonable thing to say. And the thing about it is the devil feeds it to them because they all say the same thing. They'll say the same thing. How did they all get out from everywhere? From over in this state and that state and over in that country. They all say the same thing. How did they get that same phrase? Where did that come from? Because it's not in the Bible. Where did they find that? The devil introduced it. And he tried to seduce them away from what the fact that they could live without sin. He wanted them to struggle and have sin in their life while they're trying to live for God. They have a will to want to live for God, but he wanted them to continue to sin and do things that were unlike God. He wanted them to believe the lie that they cannot live above sin, that they cannot live a righteous and a holy life. He wanted them to give in to him. So they end up with this half-life. They talk about the Lord and they say, oh, he's wonderful, and they talk about his goodness and all of these things, and then the rest of their life they're talking about, but I have sin in my life and I'm a sinner every day and I'm just saved by grace because I can't help it. Do you see? They don't have what they need to be able to really have victory in their life and live above sin. They can't get to the place to where they believe they can have it. You and I both know that if we don't believe we can have something from the Lord, it's going to be very difficult for us to get it. We've all learned that. You have to believe you can have it. You have to believe it was prepared for you. You have to believe that it's actually there and you can take hold of it and it's yours. And that spurs you on. It's faith, dear ones. It's faith that we live above sin. It's faith that God said he would destroy the works of the devil in my life, in everybody else's life, and I believe it. I believe it. And he changes me every day. And he said, if you don't abide in me, then you're going to be sinning. If you don't do righteousness, you're sinning. He says, if you have to be like me. I realize we look at the Lord and we say, oh, we fall so short of that. But have you quit trying? Because you're short of what he was. He was God. He was in a man's body, but he was God. We cannot possibly be until we are, this vile body is laid down, this vile fleshly body is laid down, we can't possibly be like God. But someday, when we get there, we will understand things that we didn't know here. We will understand things. Our minds will be enlightened in ways that we have no way of getting a hold of now. Okay, so Romans 6. We're going to read several scriptures here. We're going to read Romans 6, 1 through 4 first. What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Pretty plain. Do you understand? They want to argue the point with a language that they have developed themselves. But we have to have the language of the Bible. The Bible says, he's saying here, what can I say then? Am I going to continue in sin and say grace is abounding in my life? I have the Lord. This is a wonderful, wonderful life. But sin, I'm just going to continue sinning. See, he's trying to say, this doesn't make sense. What he's saying here, this doesn't make sense. It says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? See, because we've given up that old life and we said we want to be born again. We don't want the same old life. We don't want the same old body. We don't want the same old anything. We want to be completely born again. And you know how Nicodemus said, well, what am I supposed to do? Enter back into my mother's body and everything? Because he understood what born again meant. It meant completely new. That's what he understood. He understood exactly what Jesus was saying. But people today want to make that different. Well, that doesn't what it born again. It just means that you've become aware, you know, and now you try, but you can't because you sin more or less every day in thought, word, and deed. And it's not even biblical language they're using. It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not the same old place we were before. New. It says in the scriptures, behold, all things become new. All things. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about Bible language. They want to talk about the language they devised to excuse themselves. That's what they're doing. It says, for he that is dead, in the seventh verse, we're going down, they're going to the sixth verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're not supposed to sin henceforth. We should not serve sin. Why? Because the old man's crucified. The body of sin is dead. It's destroyed. So we're not serving sin anymore. But they don't want to use the words and the scriptures that are in the Bible. They want to use their language. And that's why it's one of the reasons why we're very, very careful about having translations of the Bible, because things can be changed and they can reword things and then it will fit their narrative. You'll be able to find things in there that will fit their narrative. But if you come back and you put it back in the original King James, you'll find out, oh no, they changed that. That isn't, they've changed a word there and it completely changes the meaning of the sentence. So it says, henceforth that we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you're dead, you can't sin anymore, right? You can't sin anymore if you're dead. You're just laying there. You have no consciousness. You have no, the body of sin is just laying. If you're dead, you can't sin anymore. And he's saying spiritually, if you're dead spiritually, in other words, you have died to yourself, you can't sin. Because you don't. Why? Because you don't want to. It's because you don't want to. Verse 10, go down to verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. This is what happens. For he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. See, I have to believe that I can be dead to sin. I have to believe that. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, and so somebody could take that one scripture there. So they could say, well, see, you just have to reckon that you're dead unto sin because you're alive through Jesus Christ. So you just have to reckon it. In other words, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. You just have to reckon it, except for the next verse. Except for the next verse. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. There are so many scriptures that taken out of context, they can twist and turn and try to make it into what? Why? Why do people take and rest and twist and turn the scriptures? It's because that's what they want to do. We're all subject to that. We want the Bible to say it the way we believe it. But we find more and more, the further we go along, that it doesn't say the way we want to believe it. We actually have to come to the way God wanted us to believe it. We have to come to the way he put it in front of us. That's what we have to do. So it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Be reign over it. Be king. Be the highest force in your body. No. Then it says 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I want you to notice the word yield. See, it's what you want to. You want to. Yielding is something you voluntarily do. You know the yield signs that you have as you're entering a freeway or whatever, and it says yield. What does it mean? It means to be very careful and let the other person go first. That's what it means. Yield. Yield the way. It's not, you don't get to have your own way here. You have to yield to the cross traffic. Well, it's saying here, it says yield. Voluntarily give your members as instruments of righteousness. Yield yourself unto God. You don't voluntarily yield unto unrighteousness. But that's what people do. And then they want to say, but God understands me and he understands where I'm at and he understands I'm trying, but they're the one yielding. They don't have to yield. Yield is something that you do voluntarily. That's what it means to voluntarily do it. That means you have the power to do it. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What does that mean? People will say, well, yeah. In other words, we don't have to obey the law anymore. You know, we're under grace now. So the law kills, the letter kills. And so, you know, everybody trying to be this and trying to be that, but God saw that we couldn't. So he sent Jesus so we could be under grace. And even though we're still sinning, and even though we're sinning more or less every day, we're under grace. So it's all right. That's what people are saying. That's what they're saying in the word. What about verse 15? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Do you see? Their arguments are, if you can get people to go into the scriptures and the things that they want to argue, if you can show them these scriptures, and then it says, God forbid that we live like that. See, that's very direct. Just So the Lord is trying to take and show us all the intricacies of how all these things work in the flesh and in our minds and how sin tries to come in and how the devil introduces things to our minds and all these different things. But he's very plain. He's very, very plain. Sin has to go. If you're serving me, you can't sin. He's saying, God forbid that you think it's all right to sin and just say, I'm under grace. That's what he's saying here. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? In other words, you're telling me that you have the grace of God in your heart. So what are you saying? You have the grace of God in your heart, but, and because we're not under that old time law, that it's okay to go ahead and sin, and we're supposed to be under grace now. He says, God forbid that you do this. God forbid that you even think like this. God forbid. Know ye not. Know ye not. He's going to conclude this little chapter in here, this little place in here where he's dealing with sin and all their arguments and all the things they were saying and everything. He's going to conclude. Know ye not that to whom ye yield, you see that word again, yield, willful. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It's just kind of the conclusion of the whole matter. All these different questions and leadings and this and that and all the, you know, because that's what people do. Well, what about this? And what about that? Well, when they wrote these letters to the different places, they're answering their questions is what is happening here. And that's why we look at it and say, well, that's a little vague. No, he's answering a question. He's actually dealing with things that are going on and questions that are being answered and all these things that are being asked rather. And he's having to come up and let them know answers. He says, you mean you're going to say you're under grace and still sin? God forbid. Don't you know that whoever you yield to, that's whose servant you are? So if you yield to sin every day, if you say you can't help it, that means the devil has dominion over you every day. Or you can yield to God and shun the devil and shun sin, and you can be under grace every day. That's what he's saying here. Don't you know that whoever you yield to, that's whose servant you are? Don't get it mixed up. Don't get it mixed up. This is very plain. Whoever you yield to, that's your master. That's your master. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Do you see how many scriptures you have to go over the top of to say that we sin more or less every day? Do you see how many scriptures you have to go over the top of? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That, what is the doctrine? That the devil had you in sin. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you could be free and he could destroy the works of the devil, that you no longer had to be his slave and his servant, and you could live a righteous and a holy life. See, that's the doctrine that was delivered. People have been trying to the devil's been trying to destroy that doctrine ever since it happened. Why? Because his power was destroyed. That's why. He doesn't want to give up power. I mean, we've been seeing a lot of that in the government. Nobody wants to give up power. They all want to keep it. Well, so does the devil. So he's come up with all of these reasons why we still have to be under sin. Even when we're free, people are free. How many times have you heard somebody saved, living the best they know how to live for the Lord, and they say, oh, I'm afraid that I may have sinned against the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? The devil is never going to give up. So he introduces something into their mind. Ooh, you have sinned. See, if he can't get them to do the sin, then he has to give them an obscure sin that they have committed unknowingly. Oh, no. You committed this unknowingly, and now you're doomed forever. And I can't tell you how many people have come and asked that. No, God doesn't play games like that. He makes things very plain. He knows we are not geniuses. He knows we can't figure it all out on our own. He wants to make it plain. So he does. He makes it very plain. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. This is easy. And then we say, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, if we don't commit sin, then, well, I got to get victory over this then. And I got to get victory over that. Yeah, you do. But we can do that. He's right there to help you. Yeah, we can do that. You can have it. All right, Romans 6, 18 through 23. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Do you see these positive statements? Being made free from sin, free from the torment of sin, or just free from the punishment of sin. No, he said free from sin, being made free from sin. I'm not just under grace and I can't help it. You know, so I have been set free from sin because I want to do righteous. I can't always make it, but I want to. No, these are direct, pointed, firm, positive statements. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. Notice the word yield. It is a choice. I can do it or not do it. It's the same choice that God gave in the beginning. I'm going to give them free will. They get to choose. Yield means that you get a choice. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now. This is where you were, but I want to change in your life. And this is where you're going. So even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness and to holiness. Yes, you used to be like this because you were yielding to sin. But now yield yourself and your members to righteousness and holiness. It's a choice. It's not something we can't help and that we do more or less every day. No, it's a choice. We yield to it. We either yield to the enemy or we yield to God. And that's the end of the whole matter. And God is telling us we have power to yield to him now. Before we were saved, we didn't. We didn't have that power. That's why he had to send his son, because the whole world was languishing in sin. He had to set up all these laws of killing sacrificial lambs and bringing your offerings and everything for sin so that he could still take those people to heaven because they couldn't stop sinning. But not after Jesus Christ. After Christ came, it was changed. We become new creatures. All those things, those old things are all passed away and we become new creatures. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were the servants of sin, you're free from righteousness. That means that if I'm sinning more or less every day, I am not righteous. Their own words condemn them. They say, I sin every day in mind, thought, or deed. And the scripture says, if ye are the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. I can't be righteous and sin at the same time. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin. I am free now, and became servants to God. Ye have your fruit in holiness. In other words, what comes out of you now is holy. What comes out now is holy. It's not sinful. I'm not sinning more or less every day. No, holiness is coming out. The fruits of the Spirit are coming out. This is what's happening to me now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way we get it, because that's the only way we can get rid of sin, because he came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he was for. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, we can believe that, can't we? We can believe. Oh, we believe that. He is all light. There's no darkness in him at all. But it's going to tell us something. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie. We say God is all light. There's no darkness in him at all. The devil's all evil. There's no light in him at all. But after he tells us the scriptures, see, you have to walk over so many scriptures to believe that I sin more or less every day and I can't help it. It says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we say we're a child of God, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. He doesn't just cover it with his blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? He cleanses it. People want to say, oh, my sins are under the blood. I can keep doing them every day because they're under the blood. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. They're under the blood. No, no, no. He says he has cleansed us from all sin. It says, if we say, now here we go into some of these scriptures they like to throw up. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, these letters went out to congregations. They went out to congregations. They're dealing with a whole congregation. So you not only have saints there, you have sinners there, you have ones that are trying, you have ones that are going back, you have every whatever of human beings. So if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. In other words, if you say, if you can actually say you don't have sin and you don't need, in other words, what he's saying, that you don't have sin, so you don't need Jesus, you're wrong. No, you need him. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. The truth is not in you. It's not in us if we say that. It's not the truth. Do you understand that? It's not the truth. Yes, we were all in sin. And right now, as that person is sitting in the congregation and as they're listening to what's being said or what's being read, and this letter is being read in the congregation, there might be one sitting there that have not even been saved or whatever. And they say, if you say you have no sin, because see, the message is you're a sinner and you need salvation. So people came up with, what do you mean I'm a sinner? I'm not a sinner. What do you mean by that? You know, you don't have the right to judge me. You can't say this about me. So he's answering. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth's not in us. If that's what we're going to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's pretty straightforward. We confess it. In other words, we have to come to the knowledge of it. If we say we don't have no sin, how are we going to come to the knowledge of it? He wants us to say we have it. We confess it. And then in the 10th verse, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we are so bold as to say, I have not sinned. Do you know there are people that are caught in things and they will say, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Because they twist it to mean what they're twisting the thing to answer it the way they want to answer it. Now, you take these scriptures right here, because these are ones that a lot of false doctrine is based upon. You take these scriptures right here. You have to measure it against the other scriptures. So it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. We have to measure it against what is taught in the word when it says that all have sinned, come short the glory of God. People don't want to say that. Well, I don't know what you mean. What are you saying? I'm a good person. You know, I'd do anything for anybody. I'm a good person. You have to lay it against the other scriptures. All of these scriptures, these hard to be understood and the ones they have kind of twisted and turned and pulled here and there, you have to lay it against the other scriptures. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And they want to say, well, yeah, in other words, it's just covered in the blood. No, it's actually cleansed because now you have the power to yield yourself under righteousness. That's why you're righteous, because you have the power to yield yourself unto it. You don't have to do the other anymore. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say, oh, no, you know, I haven't sinned. Oh, yeah. You come short of the glory of God too. Oh, no, I'm a good man. You know, I don't need God. You know, God is for those that are weak and fall into all of these habits and you know, alcoholism and drugs and all these things. But, you know, I'm a good man. I'm a strong man. I work every day. I do this. I do that. What do you mean I need to? What do I need a savior for? You know, I haven't done anything. I'm a good person. If you're saying that, you make him a liar. You're making the Lord a liar when he says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All right. James 5:1. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Another definition of sin. You know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. That's how come we know what sin is, because we know we shouldn't do it and we do it anyway. That's how we know. That's why God gave all of the commandments to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. That's why he gave them all the commandments and all the laws. Why? It was to show sin. It was to make it manifest. It was to say, listen, you know, and all those people that have a problem with you naming out things, because we shouldn't name out things. We shouldn't name out things that are sin. We shouldn't say this, that, or the other. God did it. He got very specific, in fact. You go there into Leviticus and you read all those laws. He got very specific. He named it out. And people think we shouldn't name anything out. Listen, if they would have had some of the things that we have today, he would have listed them there. They just weren't invented yet. But the principle of what we have in those things today were still back there. He dealt with the principle of it. But he would have named it out. But he had to, that's why he uses his ministers to name out things, because the scriptures have to last from the beginning to the end. We don't know what we're going to face. We could face something so totally different, you know, something we've never thought of before. A new thing could come that would be horrible, new something, and how is God going to name all those things? How is he going to name that through the ages of time, everything, every little thing that was, you know, and then the ones that are in this country and then the ones that are in that country, because more developed countries have these things happening and less developed countries have these things happening. How is he going to name all those things? The books couldn't even hold it, because sin is a vast, vast country. It goes on and on and on. So he had to bring the Bible down to principles, a principle of this and a principle of that. That's what he had to do. Okay, so in 1 John 5:17-18, this is my last scripture. All unrighteousness is sin. Another definition. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God, this is a conclusion of the whole matter. We know that whosoever is born of God, born again, sinneth not. Now, why do we use that language? Why do we use that language? That's biblical language. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. See, it's a matter of want to. It's a matter of I want to. I'm not trying to find an excuse to keep doing the same old things. No, I want it. I want to. And it says, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. Dear ones, we cannot accept the language and the premises of the sinful world to, so to speak, in for lack of a better way of saying it, to argue the point. Because we're already in the hole when we accept language that is not biblical language. Because it's already twisted for something. If we sin more or less every day, they've already conceded. They've already conceded. I can't help it and I don't want to, but I'm just trusting that God's going to look past it and let me in anyway. They've already conceded. So nobody has to work very hard. Nobody has to change a lot of things. They can feel bad about something. They can go to God even and ask God to forgive them because they did it again. But when you don't have anything that makes you think that you have to change it, you won't. You won't. But God, it says we are a new creature in Christ and we have to. We have to be that. So we have to take all the scriptures and the ones that are not as easily understood, the ones that are more easily misinterpreted. We have to interpret them in light of the ones that are very plain. That isn't what people want to do. They don't want to do that. They do not want to dwell on your scriptures where it says that if you sin, you're of the devil. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with it. They want to use their language that they've come up with that excuses things and changes things, but they don't want to use biblical language. But in order to understand the scriptures, we have to use the ones that are very plain to help us interpret the ones that we think could be a little misunderstood, we could maybe not understand them as well. That's what we have to do. So I'm thankful that the Lord blessed with this message, and I hope it's been a help to you all, that you might be able to work with people that have a preconceived idea that they have to live in sin, or a preconceived idea that they really want to and they think this is an excuse, whatever it is they're doing. Some of them are innocently ignorant. They don't understand. Others of them are trying to get away with something. But no matter what it is, the Bible's very, very clear. And we have to interpret the Bible, the scriptures that are not as clear, or we have to interpret them by using the ones that are very clear. And then we have to find the truth of that scripture by the ones that are very, very clear. So I thank the Lord this morning, and my phone is about to go dead. So I'll probably go dead in just a few seconds. I got 10% left. So pray for me, and I will be praying for you. Amen.
Aunt Mary, if you're singing a song, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I thought I had unmuted.
128.